Now let's take a look at our Second Peter, and we'll be looking at that. We already have read it. Let's read again, verse number 1, 2 Peter 2 and verse 1. But these, there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord their doctrine, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. You know, that's the title of our message this morning, is Dangers of False Teachers. We have it all around us. That first verse tells it all, and it says that there were false spirits in the Old Testament, false prophets, and the prediction is there also among the people, even as there shall be in the future, false teachers among you. Many false teachers. And what they do, they private, in privacy, they bring in damnable heresies, denying the Lord that brought them, bring upon themselves swift destruction. That's the end of these false teachers. Swift destruction. As far as the false teachers bring in damnable heresies, these false teachers, whether they're Baptists or Presbyterians, or all kinds of other things, denominations, Pentecostals, many of their doctrines, many of them are false in their doctrines. Lutherans, Roman Catholics, name them, all of them. They're bringing in false heresies and damnable heresies. For instance, the heresy that Christ is not God. They deny that he's deity. They say he's just a man. Heresy. Many of them teach he's not going to come again. That's another heresy. Many of these churches, these apostate churches and denominations, teach that he did not die for the sins of the world. And that's heresy indeed. They deny his bodily resurrection, his coming again to rapture the believers out. All these damnable heresies. Heresy because there's no such thing as hell. These people, they're false teachers, and they're leading people astray, and privately, they don't put in their articles of faith all these damnable heresies, but go to the pulpits and then they teach these heresies. In their Sunday school classes, teach these heresies. It's a terrible thing. Whatever denomination it is, many have departed from the faith and are teaching false doctrines, damnable heresies. That was the first thing, denying the Lord that bought them, the substitutionary atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dying for the sins, not just of the elect or some small group, of everyone in the world. Now that's the provision he's made for salvation. But possession of that provision is made only by genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he bought them all. They deny that. They deny that the Lord Jesus had nothing to do with redemption. Bring upon themselves swift destruction. Every one of these heretical teachers and pastors from these different denominations will have swift destruction. Don't know how much their church is worth, how many people attend, whatever it is, what kind of suit they wear, what the chorus sings about. They'll be in hell for eternal burning in fire, the lake of fire. These false teachers, these heresies, privately bringing these heresies, they themselves are lost. Christ bought them, he died for their sins, but they have rejected the Savior of the Bible, and they will bring upon themselves swift destruction. As far as false prophets of the Old Testament, in Matthew 1 and 7 and verse 15, the Lord Jesus said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, a sheep is normally not going to eat you alive or kill you, and so these false prophets in the Old Testament came like sheep's clothing, lying through their teeth, but not going to harm them in any way. But inwardly, their inner being, their inner being, they're ravening wolves. Wolves ready to eat, ready to tear your flesh, and to kill you if possible. These are false prophets. In Matthew 24, verse 11, the Lord Jesus says, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. False prophets even in the future, even in the New Testament. they'll arise and they'll deceive. Not just a few, but many. People come and they're false prophets, and people just accept them and praise them, and they'll deceive. Deception is in their heart and mind. Then in Matthew 24, verse 24, the Lord Jesus again, "For there shall arise false Christs, claiming to be Christ, and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders." Some of these groups have great signs and wonders and miracles, fake miracles, but false. They'll show signs. Insomuch that if it were possible, it isn't possible, they shall deceive the very elect, the very Christian believers, be deceived by these false Christs and false prophets. Then in Luke 6, verse 26, "Woe unto you," says the Lord Jesus, "when all men shall speak well of you, for so did they their fathers to the false prophets." If you're a true preacher of the Word of God, a true Christian preacher, a missionary, people will be against you. They'll speak false things against you. Not well, but false. So he's saying, beware. And then Acts 13, verse 6. "And when they," that is Barnabas and Saul from Antioch, "they had gone through the Isle of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, false prophet, a Jew named Bar-Jesus." So right in Jesus' day, there are these false prophets. Then in 1 John 4, verse 1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Everyone that's a preacher, everyone that's a teacher, all these television and internet preachers, test them. Test them and try them out for the Word of God. Make sure that they're speaking the Word of God, because there are many false prophets that are gone out into the world. In Revelation 16, verse 13, "I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." Revelation will be a false prophet. And he's like a frog mouth coming out of his mouth. Then in Revelation 19 and verse 20, "The beast was taken, within the false prophet." They have a satanic trinity. One of them is a false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the burning lake of fire, burning with brimstone. That's the end of these false prophets. Eternal fire of the lake of fire. Then in Revelation 20, verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them," the devil himself, "was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are." They're still there. He was cast into that lake. "And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." That's the old devil. He's not going to win, but he'll be tormented. There's false teachers here, speaking of the Pharisees, in Acts 24 and verse 14. "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship we the God of my fathers, reading the things which are written in the law and in the prophets." People today, when we preach the Word of God and the Bible, true, they consider us to be speaking heresy. That's what it says in this verse. "The way in which they call heresy." Because we have to preach the right way, the biblical way, regardless of how many people call it heretical. And then in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 19, "There must be heresies among you." Why? "That they which are proved may be made manifest among you." Heresies and truth don't mix. Heresies rise up and you see the truth and see what is true among you. Then in Galatians 5 and verse 20, "What are the works of the flesh? Not only idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, but heresies." Heresies are part of the work of this false work of the flesh. Then this word "bought," 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20, "Ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The Lord Jesus bought us with a price of death of his own self on the cross of Calvary, bought with a price. Then in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23, "Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men." The Lord Jesus bought us, who are genuine Christians. Don't serve men, serve the Lord. That swift destruction is coming upon him. We mentioned that. The swift destruction like in Psalm 103, verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, for saved or redeemed. And then in Matthew 7, verse 13, and ye enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, which should not seek the broad way, but the narrow way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in Romans 9, verse 22, if God willing to show his wrath, to make his power known, endured with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath, fitted to destruction. Many ungodly people are these vessels of wrath, fitted, made for destruction. In Philippians 3, verse 19, who, that is the unbelievers, ends is destruction. That's the end of every non-Christian. Destruction in the lake of fire, eternal hell. And then in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 9, speaking about unbelievers, non-Christians, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction in the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. Let's read verse number 2 together. And many shall they follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Many will follow these false teachers and their pernicious, wicked, and evil ways. They have many followers. Genuine Christian groups have few followers, perhaps, but they have many, even though they're wrong. Let's read verse number 3 again. And through covetousness shall they with vain words make riches as of thee, whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now these false teachers work many times through covetousness. They want with vain words, false words, lying words. For instance, covetousness in Exodus 18:21 also provided, out of all people, able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, hating wanting to get more things. That's got to be hated. In Psalm 119, verse 36, incline my heart and thy testimonies, unto thy testimonies, not to covetousness, to the word of God. In Proverbs 28, verse 16, the prince that wanteth understanding, lacks understanding, is also a great oppressor. But he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. And Jeremiah 6, and verse 13, from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one of these false people is given to covetousness. And from the prophet to the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. It's a sad apostasy in the Old Testament. Habakkuk 2 and verse 9. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house. And then in Mark 7, verse 22. Out of the heart of men come a number of things. Thefts. The second thing is covetousness. Right out of our hearts. Wanting more. Wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all of it comes from our heart. Covetousness is the second one listed. In Luke 12, verse 16, Lord Jesus said, take heed unto them. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. That's not what is important in our lives. It's whether or not we have the Lord Jesus Christ and follow his word and read his word and study his word. Ephesians 5 and verse 3. But fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, third thing, but it not once be named among you as become a saint. Not ever. Not wanting something which other people have and we want to covet. Then in Colossians 3 and verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, all these members, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. That's worshiping things that should not worship, idols. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 5. For neither at this time use we flattering words, Paul says, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is with us. He didn't have a cloak of covetousness, wanting more things. And then Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation, your way of life, be without covetousness. We know this one. And let's say, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. That's a wonderful thing. Never leave thee. As far as fitting for damnation, these covetous people,
In Matthew 23:33, the Lord Jesus said, "These serpents, what name? The generation of vipers, snakes. How can he escape the damnation of hell?" And then in John 5, verse 29, "And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil," rejecting Christ, "unto the resurrection of damnation." And these are very important things indeed. Let's read the next verse, verse number 4 together. "For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them unto chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment." Spared not the angels that sin. Old Testament angels of sin are mentioned there. And in the Genesis, for instance, chapter 6 and verse 1 to 7. I believe these are the angels of sin. I believe these were fallen angels. "Came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God," now that's the name used in the book of Job and others for angels. These are fallen angels. "The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and took upon them wives of which they chose. The Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, but he also is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years." That's approximately the years that Noah was building the ark. 120 years, that's all. His days will be limited to 120 years. Now it says there were giants in the earth in those days, fallen angels. And also after that, when the sons of God, these are fallen angels, came in unto the daughters of men, that they bare children of them, the same became mighty men, which are of old men of renown. Those are the giants. It's a false birth of fake false angels, fallen angels. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of his thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. Grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, fowls of the air, but repenteth me that I have made them. In Job 1 and verse 6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Sons of God is another name for angels. In this case, it's fallen angels. Then in Job 2 and verse 1, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, again, the sons of God is a name for angels. Not fallen angels, but holy angels. In Job 38 and verse 4, Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? And then in verse 6, Wherefore the foundation thereof fastened, for who laid this cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shall have preserved. Again, the name of angels, holy angels, sons of God. That's why these were fallen angels, we believe. Then in Matthew 25 and verse 41, Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. These are false angels. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels on her hair. So they look down and they could see something. In Jude 6, And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, have reserved in everlasting chains their darkness of the judgment of the great day. So they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, these fallen angels. Men judging angels, as we said before in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 3, we took it up a couple of weeks ago. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? Believers, genuine Christians. How much more things that pertain to life? Revelation 20 and verse 10. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, night and forever and ever. Hell is forever. That's just one tip. It's a little time. Let's read verse number 6, or number 5 here. And spare not the old world, but say Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, will bring in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, Noah's the universal flood. Many people deny it was universal, this little sectional flood. In Genesis 6, verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, in every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continued. They repented to the Lord that He made man. I will destroy them that I created from the face of the earth. We read before. And then Genesis 6 and verse 17. Behold, I and I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. A lot of people don't believe there's a universal flood. This is scripture. You have to believe it. It brings the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. And that's what happened. It shook eight people. And Genesis 7, verse 21. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth. Both fowl, cattle, a beast, of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. Some of the fish, of course, were in the dry land. And every living substance was destroyed that was upon the face of the ground. Both man and cattle and the creeping things, fowl of the heaven, they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark, his wife and their three children, were there and spared. In Matthew 24, verse 37, the Lord Jesus again, as in the days of Noah were, also shall the days of the coming of the Son of Man be. In those days there before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. He was building that ark 120 years or so. And people saw him, I'm sure, and said, what a nitwit he is. It's just been sprinkling dew upon the prison of the water. You have no rain, nothing for that day. He kept following the Lord. And they knew not till the flood came and took them all away. So shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. In Luke 17, 28, as in the days of Noah, so shall be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. All destruction of every single person living. Let's read verse number 6 together. And turn the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example to those that were to live ungodly, that should live ungodly. Those that after should live ungodly. Well, we got it. It's a while. So Sodom. Now, Dr. Spencer had an excellent message on marriages today. Homosexual marriages, LBG, whatever it is, marriages. And he said there's going to be making laws, and some states that have laws. Anyone that's against the homosexuals will be put in prison. Serious materials. From whether it's going to come to New Jersey or not. But Sodom and sodomy is in the Bible, and God's against it. It's wickedness and sin. And certainly, verse number 6, we read that, didn't we? Did we just read that?
No.
Okay, let's read verse 6 and 3. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example of the goals of the church. Sodom, used 47 times in the scripture, but Genesis 13, verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes, he held the plains of Jordan, it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, wonderful before he destroyed it, like the land of Egypt. And then in Genesis 13, verse 13, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. It's not just a little bit of sin, exceedingly. Genesis 18, verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. Very grievous. And that sin of sodomy is grievous today, same as it was in the old days. And then in Genesis 19, and verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew these cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. In Genesis 19, and verse 28. And he looked, that is, God looked, toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and beheld And lo, the smoke of the country went on as the smoke of a furnace. That is Genesis 19, verse 30. And Lot went up out of Zoar, dwelt in the mountains, his two daughters with him. He feared to dwell in Zoar. He dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. Now, Lot is called many things, many statements. He acts like he's a sinner and wicked. In verse 7 of 2 Peter 2, he's called just Lot. In verse 8, he's called a righteous man. And in verse 9, he's called the godly, a godly man. And God must see things we can't see. To us, he's a sinner, he's wicked, but God calls him just and a just man. Lot went out of Zoar, dwelt in the mountains, his daughter with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And then in verse 31, Genesis 19:30-31, firstborn said to the younger, our father's old. So they had sex with their father and had children by him. That's a just man, having incest with his two daughters. Doesn't seem like too just to me. Don't follow Lot, no matter what God calls him. His heart. And then in verse 7, let's read verse 7 again. And delivered justly, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Now, the sin of sodomy was there, and that's what God said. Wicked, it's corrupt, it's evil. As far as Lot, the court he lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house from about both old and young, all the people from every quarter. This was before the flood came. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men? These are angels. Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them, have sexual relations with them, sodomy. And Lot went out of the door with them, shut the door after him, said, I pray you, brethren, you're not so wicked. He was sodomy that wickedly. These people today, sodomy is not wicked, it's wonderful. And some running for Congress, some in Congress, are wicked sodomites. They don't care. And Genesis 19, verse 8, Lot said, behold, now I have two daughters, which are not known, man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men, these angels, do nothing. Therefore came I under my shadow of my roof. He just get rid of his daughters and throw them out to these evil homosexuals. Then in Luke 17, verse 28, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Let's read verse number 8 together. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from that day for their awful, unlawful deeds. It's a sad situation, but this is what it says. As far as Genesis 19, verse 4, but before they lay down in another city, that's the one we read and referred to, let us know these men, these evil homosexuals, want to have sex with these angels that came unto Lot. In Genesis 19:8, talked about his two daughters, and we read about that. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communications or associations corrupt good manners. So don't go with the evil people at all. Let's read verse number 9 together. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, to preserve the ungodly unto the day of judgment to be punished. You know how to deliver. God's a delivering God. In Genesis 1, verse 4. Galatians 1, verse 4. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, who gave himself for our sins in our place, for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. He's able to deliver. Our God is a delivering God. In 2 Timothy 4, and verse 18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, says Paul. 2 Timothy's last letter before the Roman government killed him. He will deliver me from every evil work, will preserve me, even though I'm going to die, will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul knew that he was going to be delivered, even though they're going to kill him. So go to heaven, meet the Lord forever and ever. In Hebrews 2, verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, the Lord Jesus, took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death for all their lifetime subject to bondage. He's a great deliverer, Lord Jesus Christ. He's a deliverer indeed. Then temptation. Deliver under temptation, out of godly, out of temptation, testing. In Mark 14, verse 38, Lord Jesus said, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Be very careful of temptations. In 1 Corinthians 10, and verse 13, we know that, let's say it together. There hath no temptation taken you, such as common to man, but God is faithful, who shall not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. In fact, that's one of my mother-in-law's titles, we were able to bear. Able to bear. And James 1, verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. It's amazing. When he is tried, crown of life. Let's read verse number 10. Yeah. But chiefly then they walk after the flesh, and the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Now this government property is proper government, not simply government we know today. Chiefly men, uncleanness, the lust of uncleanness, the people walk after them. In Matthew 23 and verse 27, the Lord Jesus talks about that. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Imagine that. Hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, painted over on the outside, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. That's what people are. They look on the outside, but inside they're whited outside, but they're sepulchres, uncleanness, filthiness. And then dead flesh in Romans 1, verse 24. For God, who gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. God gave them up, these unclean things. And then Romans 6 and verse 19. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, your hands, your heart, your legs, your mind, your mouth, as ye have yielded your members' service to uncleanness, to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members' service to righteousness unto holiness. I was speaking to 10 members. Two hands, two eyes, two feet, one mouth, one heart. All these things are members of the yield of the Lord. And then in Galatians 5, verse 19, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, here it is, uncleanness, and also lasciviousness, lust. Works of our flesh. Every genuine Christian has two natures, not one. Every non-Christian has just one nature, flesh. Sinful, wicked flesh. Christians have flesh and the indwelling Holy Spirit. We've got to walk by means of the Spirit so we do not fulfill the lust and wickedness of our flesh. We read, did we read verse 10? Did we read 10 yet?
Yes, we did.
Okay, yes. That's rather uncleanness. Matthew 23, 21, the Lord Jesus. I guess we, what verse, did I read that already?
Yeah.
And did we read Romans 1:24? Yes. And Romans 6:19? Did I read that?
Yes.
And Mark Galatians 5:19?
Yes.
Did I read that? Okay. Ephesians 4:19?
No.
Okay. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, work all uncleanness with wickedness. These are unsaved people that do that. Sadly, many Christians. And read also Ephesians 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become with saints. We should be free from all these sins. Colossians 3, and verse 5. Mortify, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Included fornication, here's uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Then 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He's not called us unto filthiness like the world is. And then the word self-willed is used here. In Titus 1 and verse 7. For a pastor, bishop, or a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. I believe these are all one and the same person, pastor, bishop, elder, the same person, not simply divided. He should be as a steward of God, not self-willed. Pastors, bishops, elders should never be self-willed. Not soon angry. Doesn't say never angry. As well as Jesus, some people, he was never angry, no, he was. He hated sin, he hated wickedness. He took whips and scourged the temple. Not soon angry. A man be the proper object of anger. Not soon anger. Not given to wine. Stay away from all of it. No stranger. Not a beating up of people. Not given to filthy lucre, wanting money all the time. And as far as dignities are concerned, in Jude 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers. Defile the flesh. Despise dominion. And speak evil of dignities. Those are high and dignified. It's a sad thing indeed. Let's read verse number 11 again. Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, bring not greater accusation against them before the Lord. These angels will bring rebuke, and it says right here in Jude verse 9, Michael the archangel, he's the lead angel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, it says, the Lord rebuked him. And we know all these evil people, but we don't necessarily bring accusation against them. Just have the Lord rebuke them and take care of them and trust them as it is. And so these whole ideas of evil teachers and wrong teachers that are beware of, the false teachers that privately shall bring in damnable heresies secretly. It's like any seminary that now is perverted. Any Bible-believing seminary that used to be true and fine and decent has been perverted. It's slow. It's in stages. It takes weeks, months, even years. But when it's all over, it's mess, a spiritual mess. Whether it's Princeton Seminary, whatever it is, whether it's Dallas Seminary, all Faith Seminary, all these different ones, it takes time, but they're perverted with false teachings and false teachers. I remember one of the teachers at Dallas Seminary when I was a student there. He was a strange teacher. He taught church history. I wrote some of the papers, and I wrote it very clearly, as I believe. He took one of my papers into the president, Dr. Walworth at the time, and I couldn't even write what I believed in that particular. He's a false teacher. It's a sad thing. And they all fail. Churches fail. Churches starting out wonderful and fine and biblical, godly. I'm sure the church that we used to be a member of many years ago, both Bethel Baptist Church and at Ninth Baptist Church, have changed. They've altered a lot of their beliefs. It's a sad thing. We've had to realize that true teachers, not false teachers, true teachers will stick with the truth and never vary. Never vary. This is that we're in our 21st year, and our doctrines of faith have never changed. The pastor preacher's faith has never changed, and may be forever. If Pastor Dan takes over when I'm no longer the pastor, and he never failed. may never vary from truth all the way. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you that we can preach thy word. We're sorry for the homosexual community in Collinsville, the home of homosexuals. And we're sorry that some states have made laws where they commit to prison those preachers and speakers that speak out against homosexual sin and wickedness. Maybe they'll do it to us here. I don't know. And Lord, we ask thee to help us to have fervency, to declare thy word, and to believe thy word, preach thy word, whatever the cost, and may we continue to be true to thee, who loved us and sent thy Son to be the Savior, not of the world, but of us, who have trusted in and become genuine Christians. We ask in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. Let's take our handles again.